growing up, I was always anxious, the shy kid, if you will, because I was too afraid to interact with the unknown, as though the unknown would be the biggest downfall on a day-to-day basis, even if it was something as simple as interacting with a quote-unquote new friend, a stranger that becomes a friend, obviously a teacher, going into a new grade. I tell you, every first day of school, every year, it was like clockwork. I would just ball up and just ball out of my eyes as well in tears because I was terrified of the unknown. And I knew the school and I knew it was just a year above. Nothing really was going to change substantially other than obviously the curriculum of the school itself. And even the friends, again, my people I grew up with, including my twin sister, mind you, so I already had that in the bag. They were the same for most of the time. Like, it was consistent. So what was going on in my little mind, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. Again, that unknown, even if it's the smallest little thing, the smallest little thing is like putting a pin on the floor in like a crack where it blends in, and you just walk into the room and you step on that pin and it just ruins your day, and it leads to maybe infection, maybe, who knows, even this, the anger of having a pin in your foot, like that's enough to trigger something, you know, and get people going. And just, that was like it, you know, gave me, but at the same time, I got over it pretty quickly when I was younger. Give me an hour or so, maybe half hour, you know, a little tough love in the best way possible. And again, my twin being with me by my side, helping me out through it all. Not so sure now if she'd be that helpful. Well, she would, but at the same time, she'd probably be more like, yeah, suck it up, man. Like, what do you want from me? But, you know, I'm glad I'm out of that state. And honestly, I've been in that state for most of my life. And even up until like my first time around in college, I didn't speak to anybody. All through high school, I didn't really speak to anybody new. I just, again, you have this fear of the unknown. And when you have the fear of the unknown, you prejudge people. You put these, you contemplate possible negative thoughts that have to do with them, whether they're true or not, or maybe they're half-truths. And you're just doing everything in your power to give that negative thing all the power compared to anything possible that could be good or beneficial to you as a potential friendship that could happen. But you're not allowing it to happen because, again, you are terrified of that little thing, that pin on the floor. And that's all it takes. And it's extraordinary to some people. And it's extraordinary. It was extraordinary to me growing up for most of my life, not understanding it. But as I got older and as I looked into my brain, so to speak, I got to be able to develop and understand myself in a whole different sense and got to appreciate these little quirks that are big quirks in the long scheme of things because of how impactful they are in my life. At the same time, it has not only eased my anxiety and pressure that I put on my... Well, I wouldn't say it eases the pressure necessarily, because that pressure is still there, maybe just at a different notion of the thought, if you will. Because even though the anxiety is a little chill, for the most part, depending... See, also too, it depends on the situation now, because it's almost like because it's, again, that comfort thing. So if I have a bad feeling about something, just because it doesn't, like, it's just the atmosphere I'm in. Like, the room itself could just remind me of something, even in my mind, without me even realizing, in my unconsciously. And that just, like, maybe it's a color or something. Something so simple can just instantly bring me back to, like, no, I don't like this. Even if later on, again, I learn how to deal with it, which I, again, being older and understanding myself more in my mind and just myself as an individual and a person and who it is I want to present to the world and present to myself most importantly. And that's the big thing too, because me wanting to present myself is kind of like 180'd, where when I was younger, again, it was just the unknown. I wasn't really scared to be myself, because being myself as a kid is just exploring and discovering the world and paying attention to the world and not necessarily who you are in that world. Whereas now it's you paying attention to yourself and how you are into this world and what you're making of this world in your own little world. So what became anxiety based around my surroundings has now become anxiety based around the triggers of my surroundings, but relating back more to how it is they misrepresent me or possibly could misrepresent me as an individual that I see fit, how I want to be seen to others. And it's just extraordinary how it's kind of the same thing, but at the same time, it's, again, before it was, the focus has just gone from a whole big, beautiful world of ours to smaller beautiful guy like myself, you know, like, it's just crazy. But at the same time, so yeah, going back, I just want to discuss a little more because it kind of got off topic a bit from where I wanted to go, but it was good because, like, again, I wanted to establish that, you know, I want to establish that point because it's just, it's still, it's a cool little, like, we think we grow, but at the same time we don't really grow that much. It just changes or alters in what our focus is. But yeah, so as a kid, it was that fear of the unknown and socializing especially. So when it comes to socializing, again, if I don't know the person, or like, it's like fight or flight, you know? And mine was flight. And now maybe it's more so fight, but you still, no matter how tough someone is or tells you they are, you still got that flight in you, man. Like, if you're smart, and again, everybody's scared. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's, again, no one likes the change or the unknown at first, at least. You know, if you do, good on you. It's a rare thing to have, and I applaud you. But, so yeah, when it came to socializing, again, I was seen as the shy kid growing up. So going past kindergarten up to public school, again, I grew up with people. So it really happened too when I moved in grade 6. So I moved to this whole new city, this whole new kind of lifestyle within that town and city. And it was just unusual to me. It wasn't that different. It was like a city over from my old one, but it's just that, again, that little thing that just sets you off, man. It's the fear of the unknown. And again, people growing up, kids are going to be like, try to find anything that it's different about you, or maybe it's they're insecure about, and like, just come at you. And you know, it helped me toughen up, but at the same time, it's like I didn't want to be even bothered with meeting people for the majority of my time, because it's, again, I cut myself off to protect myself and put these negative notions and directed them towards possibly good people in the long run, in the bigger scheme of things. But in the smaller scheme of things, that's what you do to protect yourself. And so yeah, going through that, and then it's funny too, because then you hang on to people that you do know, just because you do know them, whether they're really great friends or not, or even just great people, and you kind of give them a pass constantly, because you know them, you think they can do better, but it's not always the case. And sometimes you got to let go of people. And it's funny because then that same energy and the same time that consumes you and trying to better your friend that may or may not ever be how it is, like the relationship you have between them may never be fixed, or it never will grow into what it is you want to grow into. And that time you spent doing that could have been spent making friends for these negative excuses you have contemplated in your head. So yes, so then going off to college, again, it's it's a different situation, so that alone is a little nerve-wracking. But then you get all this potential, but then you're growing up too, you're becoming more comfortable with yourself. But at the same time, I was kind of a late bloomer, still am, you know, still figuring myself out. But it's really only been like the last 4 years that's not even four, like 3 years, 2 years, that's like really defined who I am, no matter how much I've overthought in my life and even realized this, like this day, how much I've overthought. Because again, when you're a kid, you just, the overthinking is you take it for a face value and not what it could be or the possibility of why it is you're doing it. You don't try to understand it until later on. But yeah, so college, again, it's that safety net that I'm not going to put myself out there. And again, with my compulsions, I would constantly just look around. And when I was in public school, I don't know about you guys, but like, no kid is taught how to flirt. So when I'm in public school, I used to think I was like a hopeless romantic kind of guy, still am, kind of mentality. But like, the way I went about it is obviously made for movies, but in reality, it doesn't cross over, right? It's like a crossover that never should have happened, you know? And don't tell me that, because if there is a crossover that shouldn't happen, like I said, the last episode, like a TV show, a movie, oh man, I will just contemplate. Why did that happen? And I don't even need that. I don't even need the crossover in my life to be contemplating around in my head. Even to this day, I can't believe it's so vivid in my imagination still. But here it is. So yeah, so like again, when I was younger, public school, especially when I moved to a new place, I did try to meet people again, hopeless romantic myself, opposite sex that I'm interested in, you know, and I assume that people love attention, and people do love attention, but my version of attention was like just constantly staring at the term. I was very determined. I'll give myself that, my younger self, but it was just constant staring. And in my head, you're like, hey, I'm giving you all the attention and I'm a good guy. I know I'm a good guy. But at the same time, maybe other people don't. Again, people, as you get older too, people are more about like, hey, got to put this uncomfortable situation. And two, then as they start to even get older, it's like, I got to protect myself. So like, they, again, do what I do. They throw those negative thoughts at people. And then I come out as a creep, you know? I come out as a person I didn't want to display. Even if they did know me as a friend before that, it's just then I kind of like lost all... I lost all authority as far as that relationship goes, because I turned into this guy I don't want to portray. But hey, so then because of that too, and these like little things that... Yes, I'm a kid, you got to give yourself some freedom in that, as in like you can't hold yourself to such high standards when you're growing up, because that's what growing up is about: learning, living, and learning, you know, doing, repeat, rinse, repeat, do it all again. Rinse, repeat. Oh man, now it's just rinse, repeat my hands. That's life. That's life to me. That's all it is. But a little negatively dark, but whatever, that's for another day. But yeah, so you just look, you come across wrong, and then it gets stuck in your head to this day. And it's these little things that are little traumas, and if you didn't get over them, especially if you want to have compulsions and obsessions about things constantly, you're going to hang on to those hang-ups. And so every time going through, even to the college and stuff, every time I would look at somebody or someone piqued my interest, I would, even if it was like a second or two, I'd be like, oh no, that's too long. I didn't mean to stare at you that long. I apologize. So then I would have to quickly look around, look at everybody like evenly. Again, it's that obsessive compulsive even count, you know, and I got to like turn around, move and stuff. And two, and then, oh man, I'll tell you, I stopped wearing jeans because I just didn't like the way that they bulge and crinkle up, and I didn't like the way it looked. It weird. I thought people maybe think I'm weird because I'm wearing these like that look around where jeans are. I don't want to get too specific. You know what I'm talking about, especially where the zipper is. Anyway, so then I thought, oh no, I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. I'm like that pervert feel. I didn't want to have that going on for me. So then, honestly, to this day, I don't wear jeans. So it's like things like that. You get hung up on that. And it's just What are you gonna do about it? Well, I'll tell you what you're gonna do when you're older, because guess what? That kind of thing leaves once you establish who you are. Because who you are, even if you already knew it all along, that establishment of it in that concrete, something of tangible, is what you really need to sink your teeth into. And it's what then becomes the teeth, so to speak, and then you sink those teeth into other things. And it becomes... So the thing you once sunk your teeth into becomes the new, your new jaw, if you will. And now it directs you into everything you do. And then people have to fit your teeth mold, if you will. And you know what I mean? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe this teeth metaphor is a little too weird. And again, maybe I'm creepy. But who cares? I'll tell you why I don't care. And I'll tell you why I don't care in the next episode. Thank you for listening.
When not in notions, have you lost? A monk's unhealthy devotion, all for naught. Your best bet of tissue alone won't do. No worries, I got you. Tune in where I, Jason Swigger, will help you.
Help me?
Yes!
Feel even the slightest bit bigger. Only on Flower Bedhead Radio. Only on CKDJ 107.9. Yes.